podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
Hogan Johns.
We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed. Anything that you do, if there's an obsession with it, you realize that obsession. Good things come from that.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
Let loose and just have some fun as you go about winning.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
Hot Route, Red 7, Hot Route.
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
There's a different vibe around the building.
Obsession.
Everyone's just coming to work every day excited.
Being obsessed.
And that's what it's all about.
And now, here they are.
Perfection.
Hogan Johns.
Okay, well, welcome in from Lambeau Field. It is a familiar tune here, Adam Johns. Don't really know. I'm honestly kind of speechless after this one. I feel like we've said that before. That's a common theme, I should say, on these post-game podcasts, is that somehow all these losses top the other ones. And
well,
this one certainly does.
It's a different type of horrendous. The Mike Glennon horrendous was 4 turnovers by his own fault. This was a good start, 20-0 lead, correct?
Yeah.
That just completely sputtered. The start sputtered. The play calling was suspect. I know we'll get into that. I know this is just the start of our podcast, but yeah, the horrendous feelings are the same, but it was kind of a different look, I would say.
So here we are. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns. It's the Hogue and Johns podcast. First post-game episode of the season, and should let you know that the voicemail line is open.
Here it's hot.
Oh, yeah, it's already
it's hot. It's probably full.
I don't think it's quite full. It's not quite like the Mike Glennon experience last year where that thing, I think, was full before the game ended. 312-222-5050 is the voicemail line. Please leave us your thoughts. Our great producer, Joe Romano, will bring those back for Thursday's episode, our preview episode for Week 2. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our post-game reaction is up, WGNradio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. You can get our thoughts in print there. Please rate and review the podcast. We appreciate when you do that. So, this game started exactly how we thought it would. And more specifically, I really thought they would come right down the field, the Bears, and score.
They did.
And they did.
I thought they were going to do it again for the second time.
They should have done it the second time. Mitch misses Allen Robinson on that fade, and it should have been 14-0. There were some points left off the board. I don't know. Here's the thing that we got to make sure we don't do is overreact. But there are some concerning things. Let's just start there with the offense before we move on. Mitch Trubisky talked about in his post game. We'll bring some of this to you coming up. But he talked about how after the long throw to Allen Robinson, the Packers switched from man to a lot of zone coverage. And they thought, the Bears thought, that they were going to see man for most of the game. Remember, new defensive coordinator for the Packers
Mike
in
Patton.
This game, Mike Patton. So there was a little bit of cat and mouse going on. Obviously, they didn't know what the Bears were going to do offensively. And clearly, the Bears didn't know what the Packers were going to do offensively. What's concerning to me is that there was really no adjustment back. And Mitch even brought up he was asked about the 3rd-and-1 throw to Deion Sims where he didn't even run his route past the first down marker, which is kind of amazing. But Mitch said they were expecting man coverage there. They didn't get it. It was zone. He was covered. It's just a play that would have worked if it was man. It didn't work because it was zone. Well, what happened to these RPOs? What happened to the whole idea of we're reading the coverage at the line of scrimmage and there's different options?
Answers within plays.
It's like they got away from that in the second half.
The answers within plays.
Right.
Thought that Matt Nagy preached, that Mitch Trubisky has to find these answers and that every play has an answer. And it looked like Matt Nagy had no answers for the play calls he was calling. And look, I don't want to get too overly critical here. It is one game. Again, it is.
But isn't that a little concerning?
Just what, one game?
I'm not on top. No. Not. Okay. They're 0-1. I'm talking about. Look, everything looked great offensively early, but they only scored one touchdown.
Yeah. Oh no, it's all concerning.
There was nothing there the rest of the game. It's all concerning. And
yeah.
I have to say, this is I'm not gonna be overly negative. I'm just stating a fact. This is the first time after one of these games since Mitch Trubisky became the starting quarterback.
Someone's running on the roof.
Yeah, I don't know.
Santa Claus landed with his reindeer. We're literally in the top floor of the press box here, but that was something. Go ahead.
This is the first game where I just have a I'm not panicking about Mitch Trubisky. Just a sliver of doubt. Because I there were so many missed throws.
Mm-hmm.
The offense, he just did not seem like he was in command of the offense in the second half. He specifically brought up red zone misses in third down, and he fully understands quarterbacks make their money on third down in the red zone, and that wasn't there tonight.
Well, one of the third down plays was a quarterback sweep.
See, that's...
And they got the first down, but...
That's innovative. That worked.
It's not innovative. It's bizarre.
It is for this. I mean,
you're supposed to have all these options. You're supposed to have Allen Robinson. You're supposed to have Taylor Gabriel. You're supposed to have Anthony Miller. Trey Burton. Where the heck was he tonight?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't wait to rewatch the tape because I'm honestly not sure. Were guys just not open or was Mitch not seeing the field?
Well, there were some miscommunications. You saw a couple early timeouts. You saw guys not align properly. And as they said and as they promised, it was a complex offense. But you would think they'd have some streamlined simplicity for this one. And obviously their scripted plays did work. Scripted plays worked into their second possession as well, even though it kind of sputtered out at the end. But when they gained that 20-0 lead, I mean, it was like watching John Fox ball again, though, in a sense. Safe throws.
Yeah.
A lot of runs. Look, I get it, but once Aaron Rodgers came back and once they got that first touchdown, and I know we'll get to the defense because I want to blame the defense a lot for this as
sure.
well. But, yes, the safe play calling stood out to me, especially after the Bears took that 20-0 lead.
But one thing I'll bring up with the defense is that the offense didn't help them at all. They were on the field forever in the second half until finally that drive late, they got a break.
I get that, though, but you cannot – Prince Amukamara and Kyle Fuller are going to be very unhappy people. Did you see Kyle Fuller in the locker room afterwards?
Yeah, I talked to him.
I mean, beyond the... Well, after talking to him with... You know, he dropped the interception. Could have sealed the win.
Right.
Right? But he was awful in coverage against Geronimo Allison. Prince Amukamara had a tough drive after that. And then Eddie Jackson letting Ryan Cobb get behind him for the 75-yard touchdown.
It's just unbelievable how that happens.
The big plays, it's...
Every single time these teams play, Aaron Rodgers hits a wide-open wide receiver for an enormous play.
I mean, he wasn't even that wide open. It was a perfectly touched pass right over Eddie Jackson's hand and then gone. Yeah. Closest guy to him happened to be like Leonard Floyd. I don't know where the heck he came
from. Khalil Mack almost made the tackle at the goal line.
Yeah, how about that? First game back. So... Look, I get the concerns over the offense. To me, some of the defensive woes stood out more just in terms of the big plays. This was a defense that did not give up big plays at all last year.
Right.
At all. Today, they gave up a lot. The bad tackling, bad coverage. They seem to want to jump a lot of picks.
Right.
Bryce Callahan had one early on, but look, a lot of maddening things happened tonight.
Well, what was concerning was that Aaron Rodgers somehow was better with one leg than when he had two.
How often do you see a guy get carted off and come back and do that?
Well, and we give Vic Fangio all the credit in the world over and over again because he's such a good defensive coordinator, and he is. But where was the creativity in the second half when they were just two steps throw here and there? I mean,
why were they so off in coverage?
Yeah. I mean, well, first of all, some of that's player execution. I mean, why were the guys open?
Yeah, they can play off, man.
Like, there's got to be some adjustment, either get more creative with the blitzes. Because it's not like, I saw a lot of people on Twitter like, oh, where was Khalil Mack in the second half? Well, he was still getting pressure.
Yeah.
The problem was the ball was gone.
Yeah.
Because Rodgers couldn't move.
They still got to move.
And Khalil Mack even said, yeah, he looked like he couldn't move. But they were getting rid of the ball, and to be able to do that, the guys need to be open. So why was the coverage off? And come up with some creative blitz. Send somebody else. Make him move.
Yeah.
Make him move off his spot.
Yeah.
If he can't move.
Right.
So
they let him find a rhythm.
Yeah.
Simple, quick slants. A man-to-man coverage.
Trusting
a receiver to beat the defensive back.
And it wasn't like it was innovative. It was so predictable over and over again.
We've seen it. We've seen it. We've seen Vic Fangio have success. We've seen other Lovie Smith have success. And Aaron Rodgers just sticks with it. Picks his way down the cover two. Picks his way down the Vic Fangio's defense. Look, I thought it was alarming just in terms of the rate of the big plays and the missed tackles. And there seemed to be a lot of guys trailing in coverage today. I mean, this is the defense that's supposed to go from top 10 to top 5. And the amount of big plays that the Packers put up on them, I found that the most alarming thing of the night.
I mean, it looked like top 1 in the first half when they could rush the quarterback, but my God, what would this have looked like if they didn't trade for Khalil Mack?
That's why they did.
Also, need to bring up, Akeem Hicks was not healthy in the second half. He went off limping, and all of a sudden was not the same guy when he was out there.
Knee, so, you think?
I don't know. I don't know what it was, but it was concerning that that... yeah, because he was dealing with the knee in the preseason, and they... Something was bothering him late because early in that game, he got triple teamed and forced a fumble on Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Triple teamed.
He was dominant.
It looked exactly how it was supposed to look early, both offensively and defensively. And then number 12 gets hurt and is somehow better. I mean, I don't know. I kind of wrote about this on WGNRadio.com. I don't know what else the Bears could have done to flip this rivalry, the result. I mean, you can change the coach. You can change the quarterback. You can change the roster. You can trade for Khalil Mack. You can go up 20-0, hurt Aaron Rodgers, and somehow it still ends with Rodgers hitting Randall Cobb for 75 yards for a touchdown to take the lead.
Yeah.
I don't know what else you can do, because they did everything possible to get a win here today. But here's my point.
Still Aaron Rodgers.
But it comes down to, Adam, you need to learn how to win. And when I made my prediction, and I was very confident, and heck, I was confident until there were 7 minutes left in the game, that, you know, my bold prediction of the Bears winning by 10 points in this thing was actually going to look genius. Because up to that point, everything was playing out. But I referenced it in my 10 Bears Things column. This team needs to prove that they know how to win games. And they have not. They don't have that experience. So when number 12 comes out there and all of a sudden he hits a couple passes here and there and scores a touchdown finally, what do you think's going on both sidelines? Well, number 12 saying, well, I've been here before. I know how this ends. Yeah, we're good. We're good. We're totally good, guys. I only need one leg. And on the other side, the Bears are like, well, usually this ends with that guy winning the game.
Okay, let's have some context to this conversation. So Aaron Rodgers is, what, in his 11th season? Mitch Trubisky's in his second with a first-year head coach, first-year Matt Nagy's offense.
Right. Well, that's my point. They don't have the experience for knowing how to close these games out.
You need to have the experience. So, like,
whether it's offense or defense.
I get that. I totally get that.
They need to learn how to do it.
Like, defensively, I get that because that's a veteran-filled defense.
That's why Kyle Fuller, to me, dropping that interception is so big. Because if he makes that play,
Game's over.
The Bears leave the stadium, and they can say, oh, man, okay, yeah, there's a lot to work on, but we figured out how to beat Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay with him on the field. You know, not one of these weird fluky wins where he gets hurt.
Yeah.
Okay? He was on the field, and yes, he was hurt, but he finished the game, and he was making plays, but they came up. This time it was the Bears that came up with a big play to seal the win. Couldn't do it.
He looked stunned sitting in his locker. After he talked to us, he just sat there.
Kyle?
Yeah.
Kyle
looked stunned. Yeah. Looked a bit stunned. Shell-shocked. Almost hit him right in the chest, did it not? See, me, in terms of your argument there about experience, learning how to win games, then the defense needs to close this out.
I'm with you.
Vic Fangio, who has experience with all his starters coming back, and Khalil Mack, who is outstanding, been around for a bit. They got to make plays. And you know it's going to be an adjustment offensively. They've been very actually candid about it, saying how this could take time offensively, and then people don't want to hear that. And I get you need to hold them to higher expectations, but look, I knew there were going to be up and down moments. I think maybe the first play got everybody's hopes up, and then they were kind of dashed later. But look, I get the outrage. I get the angst. It is only one game. It is the Packers, which I think magnifies everything. But in terms of getting that experience, learning how to win games, I mean, Mitch Trubisky just has to play. That's only his 13th start. 13th start. That's it. 13 starts.
I think, isn't it 25 since high school?
Yeah.
He wrote a great story on his life in Mentor, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
How long ago was that?
A while.
And he's only started 25 games.
Yeah. He's got to learn.
And
everybody wants like instant results and instant gratification nowadays. It's going to take time to teach a young quarterback. I mean, look around the league. Marcus Mariota still has ups and downs.
Right.
Deshaun Watson, how about that? We could go around the league. Dak Prescott, what the heck happened to him? Everybody wants to rush these young quarterbacks along.
But what we're seeing, and this is not a surprise, is what I predicted before this game. I said the Bears were going to jump out to a lead, and the defense was going to hold on to it. So there's two problems.
They didn't hold on, yeah.
There's two problems. One, the offense didn't do as much as it thought. Okay? They came out and they got that lead, but they also, the lead was aided by Khalil Mack being superhuman.
Right.
And getting it. A forced fumble, an interception, pick six. Insane, okay? So the offense didn't do nearly as much as we thought. They just didn't. So it was good to begin with, but they didn't know how to adjust once the Packers made the adjustments. To me, that's alarming. Not that it was going to be perfect the whole game, but they just didn't do it at any point.
Right. Well, they still stuck with their safer than... Oh God, I'm referencing like John Fox sayings. We said like safer than sorry approach, and that's how it got. It looked like that. And look, they almost sealed it. Jordan Howard almost sealed the win. Almost plowed his way. You know, he's close to scoring, but a couple, what, he had a 16-yarder. It was a 22-yarder, made a 16-yarder because he stepped out of bounds and an 11-yarder. It looked like they could do it, but then there was that third and two play.
Yeah, probably should have run the ball.
Yeah, probably should have ran the ball. Didn't look good.
I
get the alarming feelings. No, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I get why people should be concerned about Matt Nagy's offense, but it's still only one game. I wrote like a week ago, like they could win or lose this game. Doesn't matter. I mean, they could win the next three games. This is going to be a long season full of roller coaster moments for Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, there are winnable games here coming up. There's no question about it, and maybe the Bears will revert back to that team we saw in the first half. I mean, there were a lot of promising things that happened there. A lot of promising things that happened.
If we're focusing on the offense, a couple things do like alarm me. Like, well, Trubisky again, there's going to be ebbs and flows to his season. First full season as a starter, 13th start overall. You referenced the college experience, but in terms of establishing Trey Burton, where the heck was he?
Yeah, I don't know.
Taylor Gabriel had a 31-yard catch, but somehow finished with five catches for 25 yards. Do that math.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to like try to go backwards on that.
That's harder to do than not running a route past the first down marker on third and one.
You get it. Yeah, yeah. So a lot of negative yardage there.
Whew. That's
see that stuff.
And
to
where
me.
Did Tariq Cohen go after the first quarter?
Yeah, he's all over the place, and then
gone.
And then the scripted plays.
That's like last season all over again.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's disappointing. That's disappointing. And then the defense not being able to close the deal when they kind of knew what was happening the whole half.
I mean, those are your you paid those cornerbacks a lot of money. A lot of money, Adam.
Yeah.
They need to make plays.
And to me, Akeem Hicks watching that going forward is concerning because we know how good he is, and he looked good early.
Hey, Roy Robinson-Harris looked good.
Roy Robinson. Well, I mean, that was exactly what we thought. I mean, Khalil Mack being on the field made a huge difference.
Yeah.
One thing to watch going forward, it was like Joel Quenneville call the nuclear option when he has to put Kane and Taves together?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Putting Roquan Smith in the game late.
Yeah.
It was like...
He was running all over the place.
God.
I got to say, there was a little uptick in athleticism on the field.
Yeah, just
that.
A little bit than over 44.
Oh, he's coming in hot.
But it was like Vic Fangio, who was sitting in the same booth we're sitting in right now as we record this, by the way.
We are in the Bears box.
Hit the Roquan button.
Yeah.
He said, okay... I need 58 in the game, and he came running on the field after that long bomb to who was that? Whoever it was. It was a long bomb. Roquan comes running on the field. Didn't see much of 44 after that. That's probably how it's going to be going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Trevathan was chasing a bit, too. I think he's healthy, though. I was scared. That was an ugly collision he had on that tackle.
And a scare with Prince and Mukamara, too.
Yeah. Came back. That's football, though. You want to play Trubisky?
Yeah. Here is Mitch Trubisky after the game. He owned up to it. Didn't think he played that well. Let you hear from him yourself. Here is Mitch following the Bears' tough, tough loss to the Packers at Lambeau Field.
Mitch, you drove the ball down the field the first two possessions. What changed after that? What did they do anything differently, or was it you guys?
I think it was a little bit both. You always got to give credit to them for mixing it up. It's always tough week one with all the unscouted looks, and ultimately it falls on us with the execution. We just got to continue to stay aggressive and execute the plays. But we were moving the ball early, and we moved the ball throughout the game. We just weren't finishing in the red zone and finishing in critical time. So just got to go back to work this week and figure it out and go back to the film and see what mistakes were made. But it feels good when you're moving the ball, and obviously it feels bad when you're not. So we just got to go back to work.
It's what went well on that opening drive, the way you guys went down the field.
We were running the ball well, so the run was open in the pass, and we were in attack mode. So when you pick up a few completions and we're just running the ball, picking up first downs, and don't fall into many third downs to allow them to get in their pressure package, then we're in attack mode, and it feels like we're in control. So the more you can do that, the more success you have. And then when we finish down the red zone, that's when we'll get to where we want to be, which is an elite offense. But until then, we got a lot of work to do, and we just got to continue to convert and find ways to finish in the red zone.
Mitch, Matt mentioned some of the struggles on third and short. Did you see any trend, maybe what Green Bay was doing, some of the challenges they saw there?
Yeah, we expected a lot of man on third and short, and they came out and played a bunch of zone. So credit to them for just mixing up. A lot of our calls were built for man, and we had some risky calls that we just went with, and we believed in them, and they just made plays, and we didn't. So just got to go back to the film, continue to learn. And like I said, it's tough when we don't have unscouted looks. We don't know what they're going to bring, and you just got to trust the play, and hopefully our execution beats theirs. But credit to them for coming up with those stops, and we just got to be better because those are big plays for the offense.
Even though the result wasn't what you guys wanted, can you appreciate what
Aaron Rodgers was able to do? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you realize how tough this game is, and I don't even know what type of injury he had, but he came back into the game and seemed like he was just wobbling around, throwing on one leg and able to find completions. And I mean, that's what it is for the quarterback completion. Just get the ball to your playmakers and give your guys a chance. So that's something he did really well and something I got to do better. Just get the ball into your guys' hands and let them go to work with it. And yeah, it sucks being on this side of it and them being on the good side of it. But I feel like we're a lot closer, and I just got to continue to get better.
On the third and short, when it went back to Sims, what did you see on that play?
Yeah, it's just a built-in play, and that's pretty much my only option. So, like I said, it's built for man. They're playing zone, and that's just one of those risks that you take. And if we get the right look, then it's wide open. We look like geniuses, but they just made a play. So you're just hoping to get 1 yard, and came up short. And, yeah, just trying to do my job, and it didn't work out.
What kind of statement do you think the Bears' offense made tonight?
I don't even know if we made a statement. We're close. We know how close we are. These guys continue to believe, continue to work their tails off. Credit to the offensive line for giving me time and receivers making plays. We just feel like we're real close. You get down in the red zone and you come up with a bunch of field goals, and it feels okay because you're like, we got some points, we're taking care of the football, but they're not touchdowns. That's when you can really separate and help out the defense, continue to take pressure off them when we're scoring. So I don't know if we made a statement. We moved the ball up and down the field, but there's that sense and feeling in the locker room, especially on the offensive side, that we just need to continue to dig deeper and get over that hump of just putting up 20, 23, or however many points, getting to the 30s, getting to touchdowns, converting the red zone, convert on third down, and really dictate the game instead of giving them a chance at the end, which we did. So I feel like it really falls on me and the offense. And then when you could do that, you just control the ball and you could dictate the game instead of letting them back in. But again, credit to their offense, their defense, and we just kind of continue to pull together, which we will. We're headed in the right direction, so we're close, but I don't know if there's any statement.
Jen, how do you think you played tonight?
I don't know. Immediate reaction. Didn't feel too great about it. Feel like I left a lot of throws out there. I'm definitely have to go back to the film. I know on a few of those I got happy feet, but some of the time I made some plays with my feet, which helped. But just got to continue to play within the offense, within myself, and find completions. I got to do a better job of getting protection set and breaking in and out of the huddle faster so we could get our checks and kills at the line of scrimmage. It's tough in the environment, but it is what it is. I just got to be better. I'm not near where I want to be at, and in order to be a good quarterback in this league, red zone and third down is where you make your money. So I wasn't good in those areas tonight, and I'm sure I'll learn a lot from the film, and I'm looking forward to that. So I know exactly what I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna go back to work this week the way I know how, and obviously this one stinks, so it's just more motivation for this week, and that's how it goes.
Mitch, on the first deep one, you hit the Allen on the right side of the loose.
Yeah, we got man like we were expecting, and I think after that play, it pretty much took him out of it. So he beat his man at the line of scrimmage. I just held the safety a little bit and give him a chance, and those are the types of plays that Allen's going to make when you just give him a chance. So he made a great catch, and O-line did a great job up front. So that's where we're trying to be as an offense. And when the defense, when you kind of know what the defense is doing and what you're expecting, then it allows me to play faster. And they're mixing up and do a bunch of looks at the end. So we're kind of slowing down and allowing them to dictate, like I said. So we just got to continue to stay on the attack, and we're going to have those plays. I'm going to give Allen chances and the rest receivers to go up and make plays, because I got a lot of faith in those guys. So it was good to see.
As a leader on this team, how do you regroup from a loss like this so that it doesn't carry over the next week?
Yeah. Definitely. We got to regroup right away. Just got to come together as a team, no pointing fingers, which we did. We just all look within ourselves and continue to dig deeper. And we realize it's only one game. It's only one game. We can't let one game dictate the rest of the season for us. We got a long way to go. There's a lot of room for improvement. So for us, it's just to go out there, attack, and continue to get better, and realize that we're that close. And when we get over that edge and we do the little things right, then we can really control games as an offense and take a lot of pressure off our defense. And I thought they played great tonight. So as a leader, just got to go back to work, push these guys, and make sure we're doing the little things, and make sure everyone's still believing, and I know they do. So I feel like we're even though it didn't go away tonight, we're in a good spot moving forward. It may not seem like that on the outside, but we're coming together as a team, which is nice to see.
All right, so there's Mitch, and the question there at the end: how do you not let this week one loss turn into a week two loss? Because that's the thing. I mean, there you can go back to that first half, look at the positives, and say, hey, there's some potential here. Can they, next week you're at home, you're at Soldier Field, when you face adversity in second half, now they got a pretty good quarterback too in Russell Wilson who can move around.
They lost to Case Keenum and the Broncos.
Yeah, well, and you're going to be at home, so when adversity strikes, you're at least not going to be in this crazy environment here that was here tonight.
Oh, you can feel the momentum. I mean, the Packers went into the locker room to boost.
You know what changed the momentum? When just 12 ran out of the tunnel.
That's what I mean. Oh, yeah.
That was it.
Oh, yeah. People, there was a standing ovation. Standing ovation. They were booed going into the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Booed. Poor DeShone Kizer hands it off, and he just stands there waiting for the seconds to click off the clock, and then he goes in. Booed. Aaron Rodgers comes out, standing ovation. Kind of, when's the last time you've seen a guy get carted to the locker room? Spend that amount of time in the blue medical tent,
yeah.
Get carted to the locker room, and then come back and play like that.
Well,
he was awful in the first half. 3-for-7 for 13 yards.
Well, he couldn't get anything off. I mean,
yeah.
The pass rush was unbelievable.
Yeah. Great adjustments by Mike McCarthy.
So, yeah, I get back to that. I mean, the Packers just completely pants the Bears coaches in the second half too. The adjustments that were made, it just, there was no adjustment back on either side, really.
Mm-hmm.
Vic Fangio couldn't come up with a solution. It was crazy.
Well, you know what? Vic Fangio counts on Kyle Fuller to stop a Geronimo Allison. With all due respect to Geronimo Allison, not a bad player.
That was also an unbelievable throw.
I get it. I get it. But Geronimo Allison had two steps on Kyle Fuller.
That's true. He also pushed off a little.
Oh, that's football.
And it was. I'm not saying it should be OPI. But holy crap, Rodgers threw that ball perfectly.
On one leg. Still Aaron Rodgers.
He is so good. It just is.
They don't have a running game, Adam.
They
don't need it.
They literally just beat the Bears with no running game and one leg on their quarterback. Again, yeah. I don't know what else you could do. You could trade for J.J. Watt by the next time you play the Packers. Can you do that?
I don't know
what else you could do.
How many first-round picks you want to give up? But again, like the 75-yard touchdown pass, like that cannot happen.
But it keeps happening. Every time these teams play, it keeps happening. Someone in the secondary screws up.
Well, a lot of it's the improvisational skills of Aaron Rodgers, and then just the touch passes. Again, it goes back to the experience thing. Mm-hmm. These receivers are used to their quarterback, and their quarterback is one of the best of all time.
Yeah,
they know what he likes. He knows what they like, and it shows. 75-yard catch and run over the middle of the field. Ugly play.
Too many ugly plays. I mean, we're not trying to be negative here. It's just hard to be positive after you blow a 20-0 lead in a situation.
The context helps. If people want some positive news, it's week one. You got 15 more of these right. left. And in all honesty, they could theoretically win the next three games. I don't care what Ryan Fitzpatrick did against the Saints. See that game?
Yeah, I did. I saw
the Buccaneers' big win, 48-40.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be an interesting week at House Hall because, I mean, Matt Nagy certainly got a baptism to the Bears-Packers rivalry tonight, and he's got a heck of a coaching job he has to do this week because next week's absolutely winnable. In fact, I'd say Monday Night Football at home, your season opener against the Seahawks team.
Rebuilding Seahawks, yeah.
I don't think it's that good. It's a game you should win, so you can't lose it. I mean, you got to come back.
And then the Cardinals didn't look good. Your week three game.
Yeah. I don't know. Hey. I don't know. Is this going to be a team that is... Are we going to see good Bears, bad Bears? You know, like how it went tonight? Or yep. Or can they build on what happened in the first half?
I think you just got to accept that there's going to be some growing pains with this offense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Matt Nagy has tried to warn everybody. He has. It's like... Day one. It'll take some time.
Well, and that's fine. Like, when they had those three drives in a row still in the first half where they didn't go anywhere after they got off that nice start, I'm like, okay, fine. So now they're going to halftime.
Figure it out.
Where's the adjustment back?
Yeah, like, figure it out.
I'm completely prepared for there to be like, oh, here's a great offensive quarter. Here's a bad offensive quarter. Here's a good... But, like, it can't just be the first 15 scripted plays of the game and then there's nothing the rest of the game. That's what I think is concerning. So they got to figure that out. I mean, because it's got to be better than that. You can't just that gets back to like the defense screwed up a bunch in the second half, but they need some help too.
They do.
Like that's where
it was overdue.
We said like this offense alone
absolutely
should make
correct.
This defense better. So when they just keep going three and out in the third quarter, they're tired. They look tired, and. That's how plays like the 75-yard touchdown bomb happen. Now, after that, they actually had some time to... Before that, they actually had some time to rest because Mitch Trubisky...
Two plays before that, Cal Fuller also dropped an interception.
Right. But. You got to make those plays. All right. Before we get out of here, let's hear from the newest Bear, Khalil Mack, what he had to say after... What was that? I mean, let's...
And let's be honest. Did you see that coming?
That's the best player we've seen in a long time wearing a Bears jersey.
Oh, man.
Like, not even
like,
close.
Wow. Forget like that argument that one player can't make a difference. He was outstanding tonight.
That's by far the best talent the Bears have had since Urlacher.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Yeah. He was dominant from his first snap. His first snap, he put pressure on Aaron Rodgers for an early throw. Go ahead, play the guy.
Here he is, Khalil Mack.
Say that again. Man, you want to win. You want to win. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Hit me with your mic. It's all good. But, yeah, you want to win. It was a cool game, but you got to finish. And something we can definitely learn from.
What changed in the second?
I mean, you you look at the film and you can tell that they came out on fire. And so it was one of those things where you got to rally. You got to rally and put a stop to it. And so it's something we definitely can learn from as a team. And looking forward to next week.
Wait, what changed in the second half? It seemed like there was all this momentum and there was definitely a shift.
I don't really think much changed. I feel like we let them make too many big plays down the stretch. And that's what you can't have. I mean, especially when you're talking about throwing it deep. You can't have that. And so we got to put more pressure on the quarterback.
Did Aaron seem less mobile in the second half?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I could tell. He looked like he was hurting a little bit. And so, yeah, he was trying to get it out quick. And unfortunately, we couldn't get it done. And so he came back, and he definitely put him in a position to win.
Did they change the way they blocked you in the second half at all?
Nah, I mean, it wasn't really much change. They did a lot of quick passes, a lot of quick throws, and mixed it up runs. And yeah, that was it.
You okay with your touchdown?
Say that again.
Are you okay? Is your hand okay?
Yeah, I'm good, bro. I'm
Can
good,
you talk
man.
About your touchdown?
That was, yeah, we can't talk about that. It was looking at, everybody was laughing at me on the sideline, but it was cool, man. But you want to win. That's the only thing on my mind.
You were able to make an impact today.
Say that again.
You were able to make an impact today despite not playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think enabled you to do that?
What enabled, I mean, you prepare. I prepared all offseason for the first game of the season, you know what I mean? I wanted to come back and, like you said, make an impact. But even then, you want to win these games. That's the only thing on my mind. I hate losing.
What positives, though, can you take out of this, maybe moving forward with this game?
Yeah, that's the thing. You could take a lot. You could take a few positives, you know what I'm saying? But ultimately, it's definitely a learning experience as far as finishing games late, especially close ones. And these ones hurt.
Well, Khalil Mack handling that like you'd expect him to. Yep, it was a great game for him. They didn't get the win.
Doesn't matter. So didn't get the dub. I thought he was everything we expected and more. It's quite impressive for his first game. When did he last play? Last year? No preseason.
No preseason. And then there was like a feeling out period early because Aaron Lynch started the game technically.
What the heck was that, by the way?
Well, it was. I think they were going to be like, okay, can Khalil play? Like, how? I don't think they knew how ready he was.
Poor Sam Acho, though. Why can't Sam Acho do exactly what Aaron Lynch did?
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about it that way.
Aaron Lynch.
They're in love with Aaron Lynch for some reason.
I get it. It's fine. You know, that they like their guy, but like, for him to start.
Yeah, after doing nothing all preseason.
Uh-huh. Like, what the heck was that?
That's a good point. Sam Acho has earned a lot more credibility around here than Aaron Lynch has.
Than Aaron Lynch. Like, it's fine. Maybe they saw something. I don't know. But
anyway, yeah. But what I was getting at was it was very obvious as soon as Khalil Mack went in the game, and then him and Akeem Hicks got pressure right away on those first two plays. It was like, all right, 52 is fine, and you need to play him the rest of the game, basically.
Did you notice that they like faked a hurry up, and then they huddled quickly, and it prevented the Bears from making a substitution?
Well, once they huddle, they have to.
No. What they did is they ran to the line of scrimmage like it was hurry up. So the Bears gather and get ready.
Oh, yeah.
And then they quickly huddled, like just a yard off the ball, and snap, and then they went out into the line of scrimmage.
Okay.
So Mac went on the field and came back right away. So it prevented them from subbing Mac for Aaron Lynch on a third play.
Oh,
it actually turned into that long gain that was negated. The Ty Montgomery pass, or catching around the 48-yarder.
Oh, yeah.
Where he burned Danny Trevathan.
Yep.
Get called back.
Got back for holding. Yeah.
Well,
that's good coaching. That's a brilliant coaching move by Mike McCarthy. A
couple other observations. Where's Leonard Floyd?
See, I thought he was disruptive early, but like everyone else in the second half.
No, I want more.
No, he was okay early.
I want more. I'm definitely on the I want more page with him.
Okay.
Round pick.
You sound like my son.
I want more.
More.
Yeah.
The pass rush was gone in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably put some of that on Khalil Mack, too.
He's tired.
Yeah. Okay, last thing we need to close on because it needs to be talked about. Matt Nagy clearly said that not playing the third preseason game wouldn't decide this game, whether they won it or lost it. I've said over and over again, I thought the biggest reason why he chose to make that decision was to hide what the Bears were doing.
Yep.
That certainly paid off early. But if someone's going to come back and say to me that them not playing contributed to them being out of sync the rest of the game, I got no counter argument to that. I don't know that it would have made the difference, but it wouldn't hurt. It certainly wouldn't hurt.
It's also only one game. Primetime television against an defensive coordinator you haven't seen in 2 years. I'm siding with the old John Fox crisis and carnival argument here.
Sure. Okay.
Just trying to be rational.
No, and that's what you got. Like I said, like I don't. They could come back and look like they did in the first half for the whole game next week.
Mm-hmm. But even that, even like the good games, even the games where Trubisky throws for 300 yards, there's going to be some bad moments. It's his second season. Everybody wants to rush these guys.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't help that you're playing the Packers. I mean, this was a big game.
Packers. You're also playing the greatest quarterback. Santa Claus is still running up there, by the way. They're playing the greatest quarterback maybe of all time.
Most talented, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
I mean, he can run around on one leg and beat the Bears. I guess that's going to do it for us. We don't have the answers. Like Johns keeps saying, there's 15 more games. This is going to be an evolution. Got to see it play out. Got to see what it looks like next week. This was about as bad of a loss, though, as you could have chalked it up to be.
Yeah.
I mean, just to lose it the way they did, if they had come out here and been toe-to-toe with the Packers the whole night, shown some kind of response, and then you just lose to Rodgers.
We've
at the
seen
end.
Some bad losses here, though. Like last year's?
Yeah.
A few years ago, I was doing like in-game research, you know, for these grades I have to do because Mark Potash is celebrating his Jewish holiday in Rosh Hashanah, right? And the game that I came across in doing the grades research, because I was looking for a template, was the time they came in here and got whacked, 55-14.
Oh, the Trestman game.
Yeah. 55-40. So we've seen some doozies.
Right.
This was a doozy, but it was horrendous in a different style. Not often do we see them blow a 20-0 lead. We've seen them just get blown up a lot.
It was 20-3 going in the fourth quarter.
No, I get that.
You had a 17-point lead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I get that. Would you rather watch that, be in the game, or get your butts kicked 55-14?
Well, hey, look, there's no question this team right now is much better.
And I'm not
off.
Letting them off the hook. I'm just saying.
I mean, that was.
We've seen a lot of doozies here.
What you just referenced was the night that Trestman completely lost his team.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. That was the end of it. Right there, that was the game that got him fired and Phil Emery fired, and the whole thing was falling apart. So it's been 4 years of building this back up. There's a lot of positives. Hamp, OB, and Kaz on our WGN postgame show wanted to run Ryan Pace out of town after this game tonight at halftime. You know, you could have had some people voting to put him in the Hall of Fame. Right? I'm with you, okay? Let's.
You tried to give me a rocks right there.
15. Well, I did, but it's your
I'm holding the mic in
this
hand.
Your mic's in that hand. I'm with you. 15 more games. Let's see what it looks like. This was bad, though. This was bad. All right. That's going to do it for us. Hogan Johns Podcast. First post-game episode of the year. Unfortunately, a familiar. It would be nice to do some of these after wins at any point. Right?
We had the Brett Favre homecoming game.
That was like 4 years
seems
ago.
Seems like another life ago. I just referenced the Mark Trestman thrashing here.
I mean, the Robbie Gould game last year where he single-handedly beat. There's just so many games that are just like, that is the Bears. Mm-hmm.
You're right, though. They got to learn how to win, but
they have to learn.
Young team.
That Kyle Fuller interception just.
He kind of embodies it, guys.
It is. And that's the guy you spent all that money to keep him away from the Packers. I mean, there's just so many ways to look at it. All right. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our reaction is up. WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. By the way, go check out the magazine these guys did in the Sun Times. It was in your paper today. You can order it. ChicagoSunTimes.com. It's really, really good. The Trubisky story I just referenced with Johnsy, you have to read it. Looks back at his childhood and how he was brought up. It's definitely worth reading. Go check it out. And
we'll save it. There'll be better days.
If you have any more frustration you have, even anything we just said, 312-222-5050. That's your therapy line. Joe Romano will listen to you. We'll bring up back your voicemails on Thursday as we preview Week 2, Monday Night Football. The Seahawks come to town. Should be a lot of fun. We will talk to you later in the week.